three readings of Scripture that are going to be read and shared by several people and members and families in our congregation. The first reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them he had said these things to her.
Thank you, Gary Schultheis, for reading that scripture. The second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. And this scripture reading is going to come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. And this is going to come from the Glasgow family.
Happy Easter from the Glasgow family. We'll be reading Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down and their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?
He is risen.
Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again."
The third reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 8 through 12. And this scripture passage will be read by the Ryan Allen family, and they want to give a greeting to you as well.
Hi, Iron Eyes family, we love you. Hope everyone is doing well. We are going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 8 to 12.
Then they heard. Remember his words.
When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, mother of James and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Bye!
Thank you so much to the Glasgow family and the Allen family, and again, Gary Schultheis, for sharing in those readings. And then to finish out the readings, I'm going to read John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He is risen. He is alive. This has been the shout of victory across the ages, in celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must understand that the resurrection is the central truth of Easter. It's the central truth of Christ, of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, there is no power. There is no validity to this faith. The question is sometimes put forth, didn't the institutional church invent the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is a resounding no. It is the truth. It is the true reality by which a person can receive forgiveness of their sins and experience transformation in their life. It is the central teaching of the disciples, who were called apostles, ones sent with a mission. And it's the central message of Jesus Christ himself. And so this morning, as we ask the question, what is Easter all about? I want to say this, that Easter is about this truth. And this is the main point of what I want to share with us this morning, that we must encounter Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. We must believe and embrace him without seeing him physically. And when we do, we receive forgiveness of our sins and new life in him. The living Christ promises us these things. First, he promises peace. He says, "My peace I give to you." John 14:27. He promises us joy, true joy. He says this, "I tell you these things that my joy may be in you and that it may be overflowing." John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus promises us love. "As the Father has loved me," he said, "so have I loved you. Now, remain, dwell in my love." John 15, verse 9. The living Christ, the risen Christ, promises us rest. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, he promises us his presence. He says, "I will live in you, by the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you and I will live in you by the Holy Spirit forever. John chapter 14, verse 16. He promises us eternal life. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And finally, he promises us a home in heaven. He said before he went to the cross, he said, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back, and I will take you to be with me. John chapter 14, verse 3. And so, like the disciple Thomas, sometimes many of us doubt because we can't see with our own eyes. We can't see the risen Christ. But is seeing physically believing? No. Seeing physically is not believing. Rather, the risen Christ says, we just read it, because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's you and me. We must believe in the risen Christ. We must embrace Him, even though we don't see Him, because we are blessed and we will be transformed when we do put our faith in Christ, when we embrace Him. Let's break it down into a little bit simpler terms. How can we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How can we believe that He rose from the dead? Is it more than just a holiday? Is it more than just a doctrine that the church teaches? Well, I want to submit to you that there is proof, there is evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number one, what proof is there? What evidence is that He rose from the dead? What is that? Well, A, there is an empty tomb. In verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, the women go to the tomb and it is empty. And the angels speak to them, as we heard a few minutes ago read to us. The angels declare, He is not here. He has risen. And so we have the empty tomb and the declaration of the angels as proof, evidence, number one, or letter A. Now, it's interesting. We will see here in Matthew 28 the first fake news that happens in the Bible. Fake news that is given about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Matthew chapter 28, I want to read for you verses 12 through 15. When the chief priests had met with the elders, they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers that had guarded the tomb a large sum of money. They told them, "You are to say that his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report goes to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." And so the soldiers took the money and they did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. I would say that that story has been circulated throughout the world, even to this very day, that the disciples stole the body, that Jesus somehow swooned, that Jesus didn't truly die. We know that the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, were hired killers. They were trained professionals. And we can be sure that Jesus Christ was dead. We know the one soldier, he took the spear and he pierced it into Jesus' side to make sure that he was dead. And when he did this, there came out a flow of blood and water. And that's because his blood and his water had begun to separate. The fluids had begun to separate. When a person dies, this happens in their body. He was dead. And the fake news is just that. Fake news. It was a fake story then. It's a fake story today. He is not here. He has risen. So we have the empty tomb. We have the declaration of the angels. We have the chief priests who devise a story. Well, letter B, we have numerous eyewitnesses. I find it interesting that the first ones to encounter the risen Lord are the women. Mary, and the other Mary and Joseph, and several of the women who had followed him and had ministered to Jesus had been with the disciples. And Jesus says to them, "I am risen. Don't hold on to me. Mary, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but rather go and tell my brothers." He speaks to the women first because they're very important and he wants them to take this message back to the disciples. We have eyewitnesses in verses 14 through 20, back in John chapter 14, chapter 20. We have the witnesses that see Jesus, and we have the witnesses of the disciples who have Jesus appear to them in the upper room. The doors are locked. They're afraid. They're in there trembling, worried that they're going to be arrested. And all of a sudden, Jesus stands among them. And we know Thomas was not there. He was not there at that time. But we have these disciples who are witnesses. Furthermore, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6, Paul writes that there were over 500 witnesses that saw Jesus Christ alive. So we have numerous eyewitnesses. Then, C, we have Thomas, who's a convinced skeptic. We just read a moment ago, Thomas, who said, "Unless I see the Lord, unless I put my hands into his wounds, into his hands, and the wound on his side, I will not believe." Thomas is like so many of us. We have to see it to believe it. We have to know for certain by seeing it physically. Well, Jesus accommodates Thomas. And he says to him, "Thomas, stop doubting." He appears when Thomas is there. And he says, "Thomas, stop doubting. Put your hands into the wounds on my hands. Put your hand into the wound on my side. See that it is me. I am not a ghost. I am not a spirit." And Thomas responds, "My Lord and my God." Jesus accommodates him. And Jesus will accommodate you. He will accommodate your unbelief. He will accommodate what you need in order to believe in him. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus told them this. He tried to explain to them that he had told them these things already. And he said, "This is what is written in the law. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And so we have an empty tomb. We have the spin doctors who make up a story, the fake news. We have the convinced skeptic, Thomas. We have the women who are at the tomb and see it empty and then encounter the risen Christ. We see Thomas who is encountered by the risen Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, "You are to go. You are my witnesses. And you are to tell everyone in the world that I'm alive and this message that you may receive forgiveness of sins if you will repent and believe in me." Number two, we have these witnesses that were in history in that day, but there are also those today who have encountered the living, resurrected Christ and their lives have been transformed. There are people in our community that are Christians that have met the risen Christ and their life has been transformed. There's people in our church. There's famous people. There's infamous people. And you can decide which one of those I am. I can testify to you that I have encountered the risen, living Jesus Christ, and he has transformed my life. Let me share with you the name of a celebrity. I wanted to share the video clip about him, but Fox News said no. But Kanye West, he had an interview on Fox News, and here's what he said. "My job now is to spread the gospel, to let people know what Jesus has done for me. There was a time I told you what high fashion had done for me. There was a time I told you what Hennessy had done for me." That is, an alcohol, for those who may not know. I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up. But he said, I've told you what Hennessy has done for me. But now, I'm letting you know what Jesus has done for me. He has become a believer in Jesus Christ. He has encountered the risen Christ, and his life is being transformed. I don't know what you think about Kanye West. I don't really know much about him. I know there's been all kinds of talk, and I'll let you decide whether he's one of the famous people or infamous people. But his life has been transformed, and he is out preaching the gospel of Christ. That's just one of many, many examples. In a few moments, I'm going to share a word from J.R. Faulkner, who's another witness, another person who has encountered the risen Christ. But before I go to that, I want to ask you a question. Have you encountered the risen Christ? You see, if Jesus Christ is alive, if he claims he is who he claims to be, we should be able to encounter him. And I'm here to tell you that you can. If I encountered him, and I am just an ordinary person, and if I encountered him in my life, and Jesus Christ has changed my life, Jesus Christ has transformed me from what I was, I'm not the man that I once was. And if he can do that for me, he can do it for you. He can do it for anyone. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what's happened to your life. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. I've committed plenty of them. Before I knew Jesus Christ, I was a famous sinner, or perhaps an infamous sinner. There are those that know me before that time, my BC days. I was a famous sinner. God is no respecter of persons. God will save you if you will submit your life to Him, if you will embrace Him in faith and say, Jesus, I believe in You, the risen One. I believe that You are able to transform my life. Have you met Him? Have you made that commitment? Have you walked that point of giving Jesus Christ your life? Number three. If Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, the risen Christ, the Son of God, what must our response be? What must our response be? I must believe that He is the resurrected Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. You see, believing not only involves mental understanding, intellectual understanding of who Jesus is, it also means that I'm repent. That I, by my will, turn away from unbelief and I turn to Christ in faith. I turn away from whatever I'm trusting in, whatever I've been devoted to, and I turn to faith in Christ. Maybe you've been trusting in money. Maybe you've been trusting in your own abilities. A lot of people think they are self-made people. There was a day that I thought I'm going to be a self-made person. And God made it very clear to me. He showed me myself, and it wasn't a pretty picture. And if you will turn to faith in Christ, then He will show you yourself, and He will begin to transform you. And so believing means turning to Christ in faith. We must receive Him into our lives as the living Christ, the Son of God, and live our lives for Him as our Lord, our Master. I mentioned J.R. Faulkner. J.R. is a local brother here, lives on the island, and I've used this with his permission. J.R. shared this word in Facebook yesterday morning. So here's a word from J.R. Faulkner. J.R. texted me and said, I was an alcoholic for 30 years, and then I got sober, and I trusted and received Jesus Christ, and now over the past 10 years, He has transformed me, and I've become a leader in Celebrate Recovery for these past 10 years. I'm also now the head trustee at Kent Island Methodist Church. Yesterday morning, he says, as I was having my devotions, I was praying and seeking to listen to God. And God said to me these words, and I share them with you now. I created this land, and I created each and every one of you for a purpose. But you all took it upon yourself to take control over it without me. You decided that you didn't need me, And you didn't need the Book of Life in your schools, in your government buildings, or anywhere else that you could think of. You tried to remove me. You don't know how to love your neighbor, if you even know them. And you continue to try to tear down your leaders and each other. Not many of you even know who I am, or why I was sent, what I was sent to do. My Father God sent me here to teach you how to live, and how to live as one nation under God. And you did that for many years, but then you got the bright idea that you could do a better job than I can, and look where it has gotten you. Now again, you are faced in a time of chaos and turmoil, just as you were with 9/11. Where did all the American flags go after 9/11? How soon you forget. If you want me to bless you and your people and heal this land, then you need to turn back to me. So I ask you a very important question. Tomorrow, meaning Sunday, today, when we celebrate that I rose again, says the Lord, are you willing to rise up with me and come back to me? And J.R. ends it and said, thanks for listening to God through me. This is a word that God spoke to J.R. that he shared on Facebook, and I don't know how many people read that, but I thought, this is impactful, this is beautiful, this is important. God is speaking to His people, and over again, I hear the same message. We must turn back to Christ. We must repent of our willfulness, of living independently, of living apart from Him. And if you don't know Christ, you must receive Him into your life as the living Christ. You must live your life for Him so that He can live through you. The Apostle Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. He writes this, the Word is near you. It is in your heart and in your mouth. This is the word of faith that we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We cannot have a mere intellectual faith. Even the demons believe in God and they tremble, we're told. No, you and I must put our faith in the living Christ. We must receive the living Christ today. Have you done that? You see, when you do that, when you put your faith in Christ, He comes and lives in you. You see, and forgiveness of sins is not all that's involved. Yes, we are forgiven of our sins. Yes, we receive eternal life. But there's more to it. You see, He wants to live in us, to give us power to live a transformed life. And He does that by coming to live in us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. And the Holy Spirit allows God's understanding to come into our hearts and our minds so that we understand His Word, His commands. And God speaks to us just like He spoke to J.R. Listen, J.R. is an ordinary person. And God is no respecter of persons. If God spoke to J.R., God will speak to you. He's no respecter of persons. So, where are you at today? What do you need to be forgiven of? What do you need to be set free from? What do you need to overcome? Do you need the peace that comes from embracing and knowing Christ? The peace that passes all human understanding? You can have peace today. Even in the midst of this pandemic and in the midst of this quarantine, you can have peace in your heart if you will believe and you will embrace Him today. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. In a moment, we're going to pray. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me and invite Jesus Christ into your life. If you will pray in faith, God will heal you. He will hear your word and He will come into you by the Holy Spirit and He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will start a new life in you if you, by faith, will embrace the living, risen Jesus Christ. So if that's you, if you hear God speaking to you today, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart. The Lord says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Receive Christ. If you're ready to do that, then I invite you to pray a prayer like this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Lord, to take my place, my punishment, and then, Lord, to be raised from the dead. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead on the third day so that he became not only Savior, but Lord of all. I invite you, Jesus, into my life. Please come in. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. And Lord, give me new life. I want to follow you all of my days now. I will follow you as my Lord and my Master. If that's you, pray that prayer right now. Say, come into my life, Lord Jesus. I invite you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for speaking to your people. Thank you for reaching out through the Holy Spirit, touching hearts, Lord, and drawing hearts to you. We rejoice and we celebrate the risen Christ. We pray these things in the precious, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen.